2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, and from verse 7 to verse 10. I have met it once, that it's a very odd thing to do, to break into the apostle's flow here, mid-paragraph. And it's a very strange way to start a discourse. This will happen. What will happen? Well, he's spoken to the Thessalonians about their sufferings. As believers, they've been called out of Judaism. They've been called out of paganism. And they're joined to Christ. And they're joined to one another. And Satan hates them and attacks them. And he uses Judaism, religion. He uses paganism. He uses the political power, whatever, to in some way throw these believers off and to bring them trouble, sufferings, and trials. Well, says Paul, God is just. He'll pay back trouble to those who oppose you, Satan himself and all his minions. And he will honor you and count you worthy of the kingdom of God. But when will that happen? You don't do it for yourself in your own hands. God will do it. Take it in your own hands. God will do it. And this will happen. This reckoning with your enemies, this dealing with your circumstances, and this blessing of you will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven. In other words, his coming again. So we have here the return of the Lord Jesus. This world has not finished with Christ because Christ has not finished with the world. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven. He will come from heaven. Now notice the word here, revelation, revealed. Away with that stupid nonsense. You know, this idea that it's a social thing which will gradually, the kingdom will gradually come and there'll be a gradual improvement in social affairs. Rubbish. There'll be a revelation, a sudden breaking into the world, and Christ will come again. He will be visible. He will be revealed. He will be audible. We don't have all the marks here, but there'll be a resurrection of the dead. There'll be the archangel's voice. There'll be the trumpet sound. And in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, Christ will suddenly appear. It'll be an apocalypse. He will come. A parousia. An unveiling, an awakening, a return. And it'll be on a certain day. On the day he comes, verse 10. Paul says, when he was preaching in Athens, at Mars Hill, he said, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he's set apart for it. And he's given evidence for it, he says. He's raised him from the dead, Jesus Christ, of course. So there is a day, a time, an hour, a moment, a second fixed. But Paul told the Thessalonians already, of that date and time and seasons, well, you mustn't inquire because we don't know it. It's fixed in God's decree, but it's secret to us. But the coming of the Lord Jesus will not be secret, he said. He'll be a revelation, he'll break out, and all men will be before him, the dead and the living. And it's the consequence of this appearing of Christ that we're looking at here for the human race. Now, it's divided into two here. Well, it's divided into two everywhere in Scripture, in the New Testament. It's divided into two in the previous discourse. There's the world. It may be religious, it may be political, it may be pagan, it may be anything, but it's the world. But God has translated some out, Colossians 1:13, translated some, transferred some from the realm of darkness. Religion, politics, paganism is darkness. Translated them out of Satan's realm into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're this body of Christ's people, united together because they're all in Christ, hated by the world. Now there's a gulf between the world and the believers. There is in the New Testament. Today, of course, as I've said many times, people are breaking this down. And the gulf is not there anymore. There's no gap. We're all mingled together. That's quite wrong. That's quite wrong. But the day Paul is speaking about here, from verse 7 on, that gulf will be fixed. And there'll be no possibility of any transfer between the kingdom of darkness, the realm of darkness, and the kingdom of light. No possibility whatsoever. But at the moment, this gulf is passable. The only way, though, of course, as we've seen before, and we see it here, is by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Regeneration, bringing to Christ, and faith and repentance. That's the only way. But let's come to it. Now, the reason Christ is coming back is in verse 10. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people. He is coming for his people. Remember in the first chapter, first letter, we had the comfort for the saints. Christ is coming back for the saints, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So Christ is coming back for his people. He's coming back for them and to them. But incidentally, and as a strict consequence of his coming again, there will be an effect upon and a consequence upon the ungodly. And it's this that Paul starts with. When Christ is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels, the first consequence is in verse 8. He will punish those who do not know God, and so on. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail of things that are not revealed here. I don't have to harrow you with it, my friend. The words themselves are searching and desperate enough. Let me just read the words. Punish. Punished. Destruction. Everlasting destruction. Shut out. Majesty. Power. Aren't they harrowing enough? Let me read the sentences. He will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes. Now, I'm not reading this and preaching this to gloat over you, unbeliever. I'm doing it to rescue you, to help you. I'm not being patronizing. I speak that in love. I want you to come out from the kingdom of darkness, the realm of darkness, into the kingdom of love and light and Christ. And it's all here. The characteristics, the marks of those who are outside are these. They do not know God, verse 8. They do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. To be a Christian is to know God, not to know about him, not to know theology, not to be able to know the creed, not to know your way around the church, not to know your way through the services of the church, not to know your Bible, not to know what it is to pray and all the rest of it. I'm not speaking about that, but it's not to know that. It's not to know about God. Not to know theology. It's not know about. It is to know. It is to love. It is to be joined to be united with, to be one with, to feel, to have God. And it is through obedience to the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And as Paul says in verse 10, you believed our testimony to you. The testimony comes. The preacher comes and he preaches Christ to you. He preaches that you are a sinner and you need to come to Jesus to be saved. You must come to Christ. Unless you believe, you will perish. And you hear that gospel, and instead of refusing it and rejecting it and pushing it to one side, you believe and you submit and you obey the gospel. You bow the knee to Christ. You repent of your sins. You cry out for mercy and you are saved. And you know God. You're joined to God. You're in Christ and Christ is in you. You're one with God. But if you don't believe, then you don't know God. You don't obey the gospel. And you don't believe the gospel testimony. You're outside. You don't believe the testimony. You don't bow the knee. And you don't know God. And what will happen to you, my friend? Punishment. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes. Cut off forever from all happiness and joy, everlasting darkness, everlasting destruction. It's appalling, even just to let your mind dwell upon it for a second or two. Why will you die? If you refuse Christ, you will perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But whoever will not believe in him will perish. Do not believe the myth. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. The day of the Lord Jesus is a day of blazing fire and powerful revelation of angels and punishment. That is the first consequence. I warn you of it, and I do so to encourage you to leave the world now. Forsake the world. Religion, the world, paganism, whatever it might be. Islam, whatever. And come into Jesus Christ. By faith. Repent. And believe the gospel. You say, well, it's salvation by works, obeying the gospel. No. You're not saved because of it. But the way of salvation is by obedience. What obedience? Repent and believe the gospel. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Those are commands. Repent then. God commandeth men to believe too. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Come unto me, says Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Have you come? Have you believed? Have you received? Have you repented? Have you believed the testimony of the gospel? Have you bowed the knee to Christ? Turned from your sins? No? Then you're outside of Christ. Come to Christ now, I plead with you. Receive him. Repent and believe. And you will be saved. Now. And forever. Christ can come when he thinks best. If you're made a real Christian. Aren't thou made a real Christian, St. William Gatsby? Washed in the Redeemer's blood? It's not by association with believers. It's not rubbing shoulders with believers. It's not being in the churches, as it were. It's being in Christ. That's the first consequence, though. I warn you of it. That day, the gulf will be fixed. Come into Christ now. For the day of grace is with us, and the offer is still made to you, my friend. And what will it be on that day for the believer? He will be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. You see, there's the other side of the coin. Who are these people? They're good in themselves? Not at all. But they have bowed the knee to Christ. They have been taught. They've been transferred out of the realm of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. They have been regenerated by the Spirit. And they have bowed the knee to Christ. They have repented and believed and trusted him. He came to his own and his own received him not. But these people have received him. Welcomed him. And they are his holy people. We saw that in the previous discourse. They're growing in grace, growing in love, growing in faith, growing in perseverance, growing in the knowledge of Christ. They're his holy people, his sanctified people. And in that day, the consequence, Christ will be glorified in them, glorified to them. They will see him in all his glory. We shall see him, brother and sister, but we shall be like him. So John says. And we shall be transferred and translated to be like him. And we shall have new bodies, immortal bodies, like unto our Lord Jesus. And we shall be with him forever. And we shall see his glory, share in his glory. Share in his glory. What a remarkable, wonderful thing that is. And we shall be glorified in him, and he glorified in us. What a wonderful thought it is. But that day is coming, my friend. When it will be, I do not know. But of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, Christ will be revealed. And these consequences, this eternal separation will come. Would you be safe forever, now and for eternity, and come to Christ now? Believe and trust in him. Hear the gospel. Repent and believe. Bow the knee and receive Christ now. Jesus Christ is Lord. And you will obey him in the gospel. You will love him. You will submit to him. You will repent of your sins and trust him. And he will save you not because of that, but because of his grace. But through that he will bring you to himself. And then that day will come, and let him come when he thinks best, all is well. For he will give us this glory, believer, and take us into everlasting bliss, and all will be well. I don't say these things to gloat over you, unbeliever. I say it for your good. Can I hope The apostle could say, we came to Thessalonica and we made our testimony. We preached Christ to you and you believed. What a joy to him. Is there anybody, can I hope, who will hear my words, hear my testimony, and trust Christ? What a joy that would be to me. What an honor that would be to me. What a privilege that would be to me. And I speak to all believers. The Lord Jesus is coming back. He will restore all things and make all things right. And the day will be a day of glory, blessing, and honor and joy for us. And that day will never end. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be ready.